Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Good morning, everybody.
Now this is my speed, Joe Callie. Keep that one going right now.
Just keep that going the entire time.
Nothing wrong with a little Blink 182 in your life at 10 in the morning.
It's good. It's good, especially when you have two NFL games last night and neither of them were good.
Also, it's good to have Blink 182 in your life at any time of the day.
Right. That's probably fair. That's right. Good car ride music.
Great car ride music.
That's right. Yeah, we had two NFL games last night. Neither of them were any good. We'll get to that here. We'll also talk, of course, the start of Week 5, Bills and Patriots Sunday Night Football. We'll go through Saints and how bad the defense still looks and all of that. Should be a fun week with the Bills being one of just two teams at 4-0. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Do want to start with last night's games. I feel like I'm a old guy yelling to get off my lawn with everything going on in the NFL. I don't like the international window. I often find them to be bad games.
Oh, so you've got terrible news for what Roger Goodell said then.
Right. No, I know. And then Thursday night, I don't like. And even these Monday night doubleheaders, I'm kind of sitting here going, okay, one of these games on paper was good. Quarterback injury, you kind of can't predict for it. It is what it is.
Right.
But I'm sitting there watching Dolphins-Jets, and I'm just like, this game's terrible. It's not really worth watching. And then once Burrow's out and it's Jake Browning out there, no disrespect to him, we've seen what backup quarterbacks look in the league. It becomes nearly unwatchable with some of these teams.
Hang on. Considering what he did a couple of years ago, I should say – there should be some disrespect, I guess.
Well, no, I mean,
because he kind of set up for.
He did, but he's also still a backup quarterback, I think, for a reason.
But Browning had a great run a couple of years ago to keep Cincinnati in the playoff race up until week 18. And so you set yourself up for kind of a little bit of a slanted criticism toward a backup quarterback because he showed you he could do it. And through 2.5 games here, it's not that he's been bad, he's been unusable.
Yeah, and I mean, their offensive line looks horrendous. Surprise, surprise.
What a surprise.
Their defense, even with Trey Hendrickson, is still bad.
What a surprise.
Like it was last year. So, there was nothing really good there. But Bo Nix had a great game. I think 4 total touchdowns, over 300 yards.
He also threw a ghastly interception.
Yeah, it was 4th down in the end zone.
Yep.
That one was rough.
I mean, hey, he didn't arm punted out of bounds like Russell Wilson did. So I guess there are fates worse than that, but
the best.
It wasn't a good throw, though.
But I guess the best storyline from last night was Darren Waller off his rap career had 2 touchdowns. That's pretty good.
Off his rap career.
I'm watching these and I'm just like, there's no need for this. There's no need to have 2 Monday night games. We're about to deal with that in a few weeks for the Bills. I will say, though, positive news for everyone that works the next day on Tuesday. Bills are at 7:15.
Yes.
So they're the early game. That's at least exciting. But I'm watching these, and I don't want to sound like too much of a curmudgeon right off the rip, because I'm excited. Baseball playoffs start today and the whole thing. That should be fun. But I don't find the appeal to this. The European games, again, often a terrible game, and it was on Sunday morning with the Vikings and the Steelers. That was more – I saw Mike Shope tweet it, and I couldn't have agreed more. The NFL's begging for this game to be done by one. Get it over with. Get it over with.
Yeah, that one's tough. I like the idea of the double Monday nighter, though, more than Thursday night football. Because at least you get the full week of preparation, everything like that. The idea is, I think, better in that sense. Player safety, everything that I can go on about with that. I would prefer double Monday nighter versus any Thursday nighter in terms of quality of game. Their biggest screw-up was that Jets and Dolphins was a Monday nighter and not a Thursday nighter. That is a game that you bury into week 4 of Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, and you hope just it doesn't kill you too much in terms of how bad it was.
Hey, Dolphins, Jets, we gave you a primetime game. It's Thursday night. Because that is currently what you deserve.
And we'll get to the Patriots because, I mean, they actually haven't been terrible, to be perfectly honest, to start the year. They've looked pretty darn good. Drake May, I think, definitely has taken another step forward in his second year. We'll get to them, though, in a little bit. But for the AFC East, the other two teams, Jets, I liked the Aaron Glenn hire initially. I still kind of do, but they're in a really bad spot. Talent-wise, they are not good. Giving Sauce Gardner over $100 million seems like horrific business. Garrett Wilson's really good. They paid him as well. And then Fields, it'll be hard for me to ever totally quit Fields because of the athletic ability. And he showed it last night. He had a 40-plus yard rushing touchdown on fourth down. Looked great. Can't throw the ball. He can't really throw the ball at all. And then for the Dolphins, your season was already on the line there. Good for you. You don't fall to 0-4. You're 1-3. Tyreek Hill, though, his career might be over with. If you didn't see the injury, I don't really recommend going to look it up. It's pretty gruesome.
Just trust everyone that says it didn't look good.
Yeah, dislocated knee with obviously then a torn ACL, and they're checking to see even more likely having more torn ligaments in there. It's going to be a long recovery. If he really ever even comes back, it's going to be, I think, 32 in March or April, wherever his birthday falls.
And Hill's big thing is his speed, and that kind of an injury devastates all of the ligaments in one knee.
Yeah, just the games yesterday, I found myself, I wasn't even excited for them. I will watch bad college football all the time. I watch terrible college basketball all the time. I just like watching sports. But with the NFL in particular, I seem to have an aversion to bad football. It really does bother me because you're just watching it.
Your glasses turn into a monocle. Yes, I need good football.
I kind of do in the NFL. Like that's where I fall. And in part, like I was making this joke the other day with some friends, and I'm like, Josh Allen is going to make watching Bills football 5 to 10 years after his retirement very difficult. And to no fault of the Bills, they could still be a very good organization, right? They could go from their, I guess, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers equivalent to Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love, and it could be great. But the way he plays football, and even on their C games, I know Nate's been using that a lot in post-game and on the overtime show.
You're welcome.
As well. You know, their C games, they're still putting up 30 points. You just don't see that around the rest of the NFL. There are not many teams that on an okay day, they win by 12 or they win by 10. They put up 30 points. You just don't see that. And then looking around the rest of the NFL and watching some of these games, and I'm just like, oof. Some bad football, bad offensive line play, kind of around the league. There really are not many good offensive lines as a full unit. There are very good offensive linemen. But as units, there are not many great offensive lines. And you saw it last night with Cincinnati. That offense is nearly unplayable. They're just chucking it up to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, hoping for anything.
And that is part of having a backup quarterback. They're not going to make the best of decisions. Look at Carson Wentz in Ireland. But maybe the numbers will end up being there at the end of the day. Like, Wentz threw for 350. Nobody really noticed because he was playing terribly for that game. And with Browning, what's he do immediately when he gets in there against Jacksonville? Feed the ball to Ja'Marr Chase.
Which is the correct way to do it. Carson Wentz, what does he do when he went in? Justin Jefferson. And he had like nine catches in the first half.
It's a shame for rookie Jackson Dart that he will not be able to just do the Malik is down there somewhere.
Yeah.
Because the MetLife turf monster has claimed another soul. Love to see that. They need...
I think they need to get rid of that surface.
They've needed to get rid of that surface 7 years ago.
Yeah, that might be a thing that really does start to come to a head here for them, of just everyone knows how bad it is. And now you have one of the... I thought this was going to be something for the tush push, is once you have a quarterback get hurt, all of a sudden... It sounds awful. No one cares when an offensive lineman gets hurt. But if a quarterback got hurt on that play, well, now it'll be easy to get rid of. In reality, it ended up turning into... It looks awful, and now, you know, there's false starts constantly. No one's able to call it. That'll get banned. I wonder now with MetLife, with a star player on the Giants getting hurt, does that maybe push the Giants themselves to go, okay, we've got to fix this.
Right.
We've got to fix this.
It is an issue. The turf monster there, it's typically been two fields that I've always been the most nervous about, MetLife and Detroit, Ford Field.
Yeah.
Those are the two that always seem to have the most notorious of injuries. The Bills have to play there every year. Thank goodness they already got through theirs without relatively much incident. But, for example, if they have to like play the Giants on the road, I'm terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Because then all of a sudden, you've got to get the Bills there twice. And that's not good.
No. We didn't really have to deal with the vet for Philadelphia, that field.
Yeah.
Which was just asphalt. that's what it was.
I mean,
it was concrete with like green paint over
growing
it.
Growing up, I probably had watched more games of that, but I also didn't, my brain didn't fully function yet. Still a child.
Right. But like that was the stadium that I always heard like the horror stories about. Is like when you had to go to Philadelphia, you were like, cool, we're just gonna play on the road.
We're playing street ball.
Yeah, we're playing street ball, and it's actually tackle. We'll see what ends up happening here as well with the Bills' next stadium and stuff like that.
What, you never played tackle football on the street?
No. No.
I don't advise it.
No, don't advise it. But yeah, just some bad games over the weekend. I still enjoyed watching the football, but in particular, like last night, the NFL is that one sport where I can't just like kind of sit there and enjoy the bad product. Again, like college sports, I can. Basketball, I kind of enjoy it. NHL, I can. Baseball, in part, I almost hope it's a bad game where it becomes a pitcher's duel and no one can hit. NFL, if it's a bad game, there's nothing that'll get me to turn a TV off faster than two teams that kind of just can't do anything. A lot of penalties, too, last night, especially in Miami and the Jets. Ugh.
That is kind of interesting that you say it like that, though, because the NFL is king. And it has our sports society in a vice grip, really. But yeah, when the professional play is at a subpar level, it is very discouraging to want to keep watching it, let alone two of these games on the same Monday night also doing that to you. Because typically your saving grace is that one of them is good. And the idea was that one game that was going to be good would have been Bengals-Broncos with Burrow healthy.
And you saw how they put it too, specifically. It was going to be the second game. You'd start watching the first game, and you hope that turns out good, and then you'd maybe transition over to the second.
But that tells me the flaw in the logic already.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Why in the hell is it the Jets and Dolphins?
Yeah.
You should want a good game to at least start out, or at least a potential mismatch that turns into a bit of an imbalance late in the game so that you're all watching the 8:15 game.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that what they think is going to happen with Bills and Falcons?
No, I think that one ends up just being like correct. Like we're going to have a really good game here. Even if the Falcons aren't really good, you're going to have Josh Allen and the Bills on TV. That'll be great. And then what's the second one?
I haven't actually seen
what the 8:15 game is for that week.
I'm going to need a second on that. But that should be the idea, is you put a first game in there that it's going to get ugly later.
Bears Commanders, 8:15.
Oh, no.
Well, no, that one they can lean into.
Revenge from Hail Mary.
Look what happened last year.
Is Jaden Daniels going to be healthy by then?
I think probably by then he should be. He started practicing this week.
Yep. I knew it was close, but it's still worth asking. Yeah, I can at least, I don't know. It's going to, and then here's the other thing. Ready? The Thursday night game this week, 49ers-Rams. That's a really good divisional matchup, except it's on Thursday. The quality of play is going to end up going down. What am I looking at here in week six? Oh, there we go. Eagles-Giants.
Oof.
That's a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
You tuck that one away at Thursday night and you deal with that. But I would have thought on paper, for example, Cincy-Green Bay would have been a good idea to highlight in there. LA-Baltimore is a 1 o'clock game that week.
Chargers-Baltimore?
Rams-Baltimore.
Rams-Baltimore.
Good Lord, the Ravens keep getting thrown in the gamut here.
Yeah. Oh, their schedule really, I think, never let up.
And now
they've got so many injuries on defense.
Their schedule's actually diabolical through the first 6 weeks. The Texans and Browns are your, like, grace period.
And it's two of the better defenses in football.
Yeah.
I don't want to definitively say two of the best because I haven't looked at the numbers necessarily but two of the better ones.
I think that's the exact way to say it. They have a nice underbelly after that. Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals. But are they going to be alive by then?
Yeah, that's going to be a real curious thing to watch with them, just mainly due to the fact of has Pittsburgh already clinched the North 4 weeks in. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot from this weekend, and I took away kind of a lot of negatives. For Bill Saints, though, was also sort of that as well, and something we've talked about, where when you look at the schedule, it was going to be tough to learn anything positive. The two big takeaways I had from Sunday was that Cole Bishop is really coming along real nicely, and Deion Walker might be a stud as a fourth-round rookie. After that, a lot of it is still, for me, waiting and seeing, waiting for these suspended players to come back, waiting for the injured players to come back. I guess the other takeaway we could have, more of a bad one, but also a good one, Spencer Brown's super important to the offensive line and how they operate. But that's not really that surprising. You hope a guy like a Ryan Vandermark or a Tylan Grable, whoever their backup lineman is that has to go in, has a good game in the spot duty. Vandermark last year against Kansas City. The likely turnout, though, or at least the one you should maybe expect, is that the offense won't look as good.
And
with one of your key offensive linemen, a right tackle, out.
And your projected backup tackle also out.
Mm-hmm.
Grable is supposed to be the guy behind him. And he's not. Because he is still on IR. He is eligible to come back now. But it's not a surprise, like you said. Spencer Brown also earned a contract extension because he is playing like one of the better right tackles in the NFL, a position where right tackle, you do need to make sure that there's not a gigantic gap between your left and your right tackle anymore. You do need to make sure that there is something there to hold on to at your right tackle position. The Chargers are going to get real interesting now. They've lost Rashawn Slater and now Joel Alt.
Alt with a high ankle sprain, so it's not season for him, but you're right. I mean, And you saw what it meant against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, Jackson Dart had a pretty good game, you know, and especially after Neighbors went out. I think that was more on just how many hits Herbert took, how the offense could, and Amarian Hampton was having himself a good game, but they just could not get going on offense at all once, obviously, now both their tackles were out.
But back to the Bills on this, it's just the one thing about it, you and I said it all last week, we're going to learn nothing good about this team for about a month. The Bills' defense really just decided to test that theory and see how far they could push it.
Mm-hmm.
Against New Orleans, it was, at the very start, against the scripted plays, awful. It was almost nightmarish watching them playing. And the tackling issues are really the problem at this point. Because I started questioning if Babich is the guy, but the defense coordinator does not make the tackles. He does not take the poor angles on tackling or in run pursuit. And you saw it on the play that Saints touchdown, the first one, where Rapp comes in, bad angle, and he gets pushed aside. And then Trey White puts up a less than desirable effort.
I think I saw a lot of people after that play legitimately calling for him to be benched.
And Dorian Strong then does happen to come in the next drive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the tackling, the coaches don't have anything to do with that. And tackling was a huge issue against the Ravens. And, well, I mean, it's hard to tackle Derrick Henry, except the rest of the league has proven that it's not really right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it might just be a Bills talent on the roster issue. It might be the defensive tackles are not winning one-on-one battles in the run game. Deion Walker's getting double-teamed already.
Yeah, and then you're down through one game this year, but he's probably been your best defensive tackle for most of his career. At Oliver, he's been down since week one. You had one performance from him. Now he's been had a boot on his foot. We're all watching how much he's limping whenever we see videos of him. It looks like he's still maybe a week away.
But the linebackers, once considered to me a position of strength heading into the season, Bernard's missing tackles. Matt Milano, when he's in, is missing tackles.
Dorian Williams looks bad.
Dorian Williams has been surpassed by Shaq Thompson as the next linebacker in.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the idea of signing Shaq Thompson all throughout once they did it, but I didn't think that they would need him this much already. I thought that that was just really valuable depth. Well, it turns out it is. It's just that now he's a higher piece on the depth chart than I initially suspected he would have to be. Williams has been bad. Andreessen, I mean,
we haven't really seen much from him at all.
We haven't seen much from him, but also, like, if we get to that point of seeing him, that means there's a lot of injuries and we got problems. But I just look at this defense not making tackles, and it's like, that's something that no matter what, good team, bad team, you got to make plays. Because if you're not making the tackles, it's not going to work for you. Taylor Rapp has become a major concern for me now through four games. And if he keeps playing like this, I might start calling for DeMar Hamlin. I'm not kidding. It's getting bad. But Cole Bishop has gone from mystery box to, oh, you probably have something here. Good. Which a lot of fans, everyone's nervous about the unknown with him. Well, it seems like he's got things going. Now that he's got a steady set of playing time, they made sure to force snaps to him in the preseason, even in a scenario that he really should not have been in or thrown into.
Yeah.
But they needed him to get snaps. And now he looks like he is a player that they saw all along as a second-round pick.
He looks already like one of their better athletes.
And that's
across
good.
The defense, he looks like one of their better athletes. I will say, though, with this defense, it's hard for me to talk in definitives with them because of how many injuries they have, because of their first-round pick having not played at all. And to be fair, we'll see how much Harrison actually is really able to affect the defense because of his LCL sprain and McDermott kind of seeming like we're not heading towards a redshirt year, but that it's definitely a possibility.
We're taking our time with him.
Right. And then as well, suspended players, Larry Ogunjobi, and maybe more. I don't know if Michael Hoyt's being talked about enough, and I would put us in that box as well.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, that he's suspended. We'll talk about him later. He came in, though, to the Bills as one of the more versatile defenders in football. Take what you will, because I saw some of the PFF grades from this weekend, how Ryan Vandermark somehow was one of their better offensive players. So, again, take this with a grain of salt if that's you, but Hoyt was a top 10 run defender by his grade per PFF last year for players of his position. Is that going to be something big for them? That's where they were getting gashed on Sunday, was those was guys going towards the edges. They were going outside. It's Joey Bosa, who been great as a pass rusher. He has been awful in the run defense against both mobile quarterbacks and then just running backs. He has been not good. Greg Rousseau, I guess, is maybe dealing with a bone bruise. That seems to be what I've seen the reports from him. But they've not been good there. Maybe Hoyt changes that. Maybe having both Deion Walker and Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones in the interior, along with Larry Ogunjobi, will really help them. It won't be great if all of a sudden TJ Sanders and Landon Jackson, your second and third round pick, are healthy and actives. But I think for most of us, it's much more of, I just want a Super Bowl. I don't really care about the future. I care about the now, which is where guys like Deion Walker is so exciting to have because he looks like both a future piece and a now piece.
And I think there's something you mentioned, like the Super Bowl thing. This is also going to the anxiety of Bills fans on a week-to-week basis right now. There was a caller on the overtime show that Nate and I took on Sunday night that put it in a pretty good perspective for me. It's because the Bills haven't won something yet that the anxiety creeps up, and you have a game like this where you only win by 12 against the Saints, and it's like, oh, can this team even win in January or in the Super Bowl? It's week 4, but we're all gauging it like that because We haven't been there. This core has not been there.
I think that's absolutely
There's
right.
an entire generation of fans that didn't even know what the playoffs were for 17 years. There's an anxiety that is added to it within Buffalo fans that is natural because of the fact that the team does not have that championship. There is no redemption arc, so to say. And as a matter of fact, I feel like any one of us, if we tried to nitpick the Saints and the Bills had a championship like this, or if they were coming off of one, you'd feel like a jerk.
I think, honestly, I think you'd feel like a crazy person. Like that is something I've thought about, too, of like how much am I really going to care about their right guard situation or their linebacker situation if it's the year after Super Bowl. Now, to be perfectly honest, I'm a very competitive person. I'll want more. So very quickly it'll become easy to go back to the norm, I think, for myself.
But there are plenty of people that will be like,
this is ridiculous.
What
are you doing?
This is ridiculous. What are we doing?
And I think it's right to bring up it's the anxiety of, but we haven't won one yet. Philadelphia has a hard time passing the ball. I don't think they completed a pass for the entire third quarter and they still beat Tampa. Like there's real issues in their passing game. A.J. Brown is quoting the Bible out here on social media talking about if you're not wanted, just disappear. But really, they've won two Super Bowls in the last 10 years. Like, who cares? The Chiefs are the dynasty of the 2020s. Like, they have issues on offense, but honestly, who cares? Like, they'll be fine. Like, trust the process. For Bills fans, you can say that, and in many aspects, it is true. Just trust the process. They've been there and done that. But they haven't been there. They have not gotten to the Super Bowl. They have not won one. And until that happens, I think you're right. There will always be that level of anxiety of, oh, no, the wheels are starting to fall off. Oh, no, like this is going to be our Achilles heel. We can't stop teams like Philadelphia, like Detroit, like the Rams, or even going to the AFC, Kansas City and Baltimore.
I liken it to I have to leave the house for 2 hours and my beagle gets like a little bit of that separation anxiety. That's what I liken that to. Oh, everything's fine. You won by 12. Oh, everything's fine. You came home. But what the hell?
Yeah, yeah. Why'd you put me through that?
Why'd you put me through that? And that's what the last 2 weeks have been. Why did you put me through this?
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll have our top five primetime players coming up at 11 o'clock. Talking Bills defense, how much of it is really an issue right now? Is it an issue they can sustain going forward with them taking on the Patriots this Sunday night? RJ, if you hang on.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
Line, we'll get you right after this quick timeout. We've also got some breaking news in the NHL. We'll hit after we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number one continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on a Tuesday. Let's go to the phones, get connected to our fans. First up today, RJ is on the line. RJ, how are we doing?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So a couple things. So we're talking about the defense, how we're we're getting gashed at times and we just don't have that player that's stepping up. My biggest issue, not even so much that, is because that's happening now and the statement gets made all the time, we keep having to have Josh put the cape on. And, again, we rely on him so much. I mean, Cook is stepping up now, which I appreciate because I think we needed that. And we're using him more, which makes sense because we're paying him $12 million a year. But we have to stop relying on this because it's sooner or later something bad's going to happen because he keeps having to have so much pressure and so much anxiety on him during the game.
I think that's and the second thing. I think that's right. Yeah.
And the second thing is, I'm a huge Penn State fan. I'm a diehard Bills fan. But I'll tell you this: James Franklin and they drive me nuts because they can't. Neither one of them can win big games. Or is getting to a certain point, can knock it over that hump to win the big game, but yet they're still on the staffs. They're still being held like they're these like great, great coaches like Saban or somebody like that when they're not, because they can never finish and get the big game done. Those are my two thoughts. You guys talk about, let me know.
RJ, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thanks, RJ.
I will tell you on the relying on Allen too much. I think that was true for a few years. I think especially this year, and I do want to talk about James Cook more as the week goes on and even as the season goes on, they are now also starting to lean on him. And in a way that I think – I know there's been a lot of people, and to a certain extent I can agree, if you want to bring his usage down, you don't want to – I don't care. You're paying him $12 million a year. If he's your best running back, if he's your second best weapon on offense, use them. I'm okay with leaning on your best players. The problem was for the Bills, I think for a long time, was it was just Allen and Diggs. And to a certain extent, Diggs is relying on Allen. They have to work in the symbiotic relationship. You were hoping
a wide receiver has to have a quarterback in order to be successful,
right? In terms of like needing another star that not always have to lean on Allen early would have to have been a running back or a defensive player, right? Having a Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons that on the other side of the field could take it out, or a running back that Allen doesn't have to touch the ball and you could still be a great offense, a great team. James Cook right now is one of the best offensive weapons in the NFL. He's second in the league in rushing. He is dominating many teams, and he's doing it also with, not the full complement of offensive linemen. Ryan Vandermark is in over Spencer Brown, still gets over 100 yards. Still no problem. They don't have to rely on their passing game so much. I think that is a positive there for the Bills. We'll see about the defense. I think they can somewhat survive giving up a lot in the running game. I'm not saying they can be 32nd in the league and survive, but that's also with a lot of guys missing and injured and suspended and what have you. But if they're 20 to 25th in the league in rushing yards allowed, I think they can survive that. They're winning by 10 and 12 points, and they're giving up a ton of rushing yards. It's allowing teams, I guess, to keep it close. It's not really letting them allow, or allowing them to win the game.
And that is something that we'll need to see the true meaning of something. And it's not about the run defense. It's about the pass defense. How good is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Their numbers are great.
Right, yeah.
They also don't need to be tested because teams can run the football on them. So there might be a problem there that we don't know yet because of the fact that the Bills haven't really allowed it to show its face.
Well, yeah, because teams are just going to lean into the run. But I think that's why the Bills are doing this. Is it's cool. You're not going to beat us through the air. You're not going to beat us.
It is technically leaving everything in front of you still, technically.
Like, and that's the thing, too. That's a toxic mindset. But they're first in passing yards per game allowed. That can absolutely be looked at as, well, teams are deciding to run the ball more on them. And I think that's absolutely correct. Like, that is much more of the statistic of how much does this really mean. The passing yards per play, though, being first, I think is far more indicative of the Bills are doing a very good job in the pass defense. You're not going to beat them deep. You're not even going to really beat them at all through the air.
I will say that some of that might still be a byproduct of you allowed Justin Fields to have, 7 yards passing or something like that.
Sure.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. But Rattler didn't really beat you through the air.
Rattler didn't beat you through the air. Tua didn't beat you through the air. Jackson could have beat you through the air based on how that game was going. But they just kept making bad coaching decisions late in the game. I don't know what the pass defense is yet. And that's the part of learning anything productive about them. We're still going to be a while. And Kansas City is the first real lesson that you're going to get in that. Because the Chiefs don't run the ball very well.
No, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is still their leading rusher, but at least through 3 weeks he was.
He was through 3 weeks, and it's well, a lot of things happen because you face the Ravens defense. You want to talk about a team that actually has a bad defense? Well, there's Baltimore there sitting around the corner at 1-3. The Bills at least have a good enough defense that you can stem the tide, but if the Bills had the Ravens schedule, are they looking at 4-0? Probably not. You're probably looking at 3-1 or something. Mahomes is still their leading rusher. They don't have a run game.
By 3 yards, but yeah, they don't have a run game.
They don't have a run game. Pacheco's been bad, but if the Bills can't tackle him, for example, that's going to be the problem. But I think that the Chiefs are going to be the best test of what the pass defense is, because regrettably, I have to say it, Mahomes is playing pretty well right now. And they've needed him to be. And that's just to get to 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about how Allen has never had like much support over the years, or he hasn't had too much of it. Look at Kansas City. Like, yeah, they got Xavier Worthy back, and he had 83 receiving yards.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing the end of the dynasty's run. They could still be competitive.
Well,
I'm not saying that, but in terms of the talent is leaving.
They're leaving
the station.
But they need to reload
on
the fly.
And they're not doing the best job.
They're not doing the best job of it, but they're not doing the worst job of it. I think Worthy's fine. Like Coleman.
He's a good weapon for them. When he's in the rotation, it really helps them.
Both players fit what the teams want them to be at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Bills ever thought about Worthy because the Bills face too high safety more than any team in the league. The Chiefs still somehow don't face it as often as Buffalo does. And that's despite the fact that they have the straight line running Worthy.
Yeah.
But back to the defensive point real quick. It is getting to a point where execution has to be the thing. The players have to make these tackles. There are a lot of missed tackles from this team, and you see it every week. I don't know how much I can blame on Babich at this point. I don't know how much I can blame McDermott at this point.
Well, because it's one of those things.
They don't make the tackles.
I can already hear that. Well, what's coaching supposed to do? Man, they're grown adults playing this game since they were 6. Make a tackle.
Wrap up.
You know, don't go at a 6'4", 300-pound tight end up top. You're going to lose that battle every time.
Don't go after Derrick Henry and just throw your shoulder at him thinking it's going to work.
Yeah, and look, sure, some of that maybe is going to be on coaching. And, yeah, Cole Bishop also had a safety blitz call from Tonawanda. Like, it did happen. But I've maintained this for a while. I think a lot of it has been more of a talent issue. I do put a lot of the blame on the defensive issues the last few seasons squarely at the GM's door.
And they should be.
They have not been good at adding at edge. They have not been good at filling in the interior defensive line. The defensive line itself. They have not done a very good job at fixing that. Linebacker is still very much a question mark.
You drafted smaller guys that can move, but now here comes the other side of the coin.
And even safety. Cool. Cole Bishop's worked. But Taylor Rapp might just be Damar Hamlin. Except he has some big hits every now and then. That really might be it.
And you've saved yourself with drafting corners late, but your early draft pick at corner was a flop and a half.
Yeah, Kyrie Elam might be part of one of the worst secondaries I've ever seen with Dallas. I mean, so like I think a lot of it more comes down to player acquisition and talent evaluation on the defense more than anything. They can find solid NFL players, but when it's just a bunch of solid NFL players and one or two of those guys get hurt and they're playing a Hall of Fame quarterback in the playoffs, that's where you're going to get bit. Let's go back to the phones here. Mark is up next. Mark, how we doing?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
I hate being this caller at 4-0. I truly do. My buddy Clark, he coined the phrase third and Sean, okay? Meaning it's a gimme for these teams on third down lately. And I'm only being critical of it because McDermott is a defensive guy. And I just think dating back to that Bengals playoff game, you remember that? The Bengals were without 3 starters, and we could not touch Burrow. And it's still a problem today. I'm just so sick of that being our kryptonite. Again, thinking down the road, thinking playoffs, thinking Chiefs again, thinking the Ravens again. This has to be corrected. I can't wait to see what the defense looks like. That's what I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, because I think Hoyt's going to make a huge impact in keeping Bosa fresher. But, we need more out of this group. And how many times are we going to go to this well of you have a stud quarterback, you keep overturning his offensive coordinator, and you keep missing on defense? That's my 4-0 complaint. Again, I hate being that guy. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Mark, thanks for the call, man. I think it's fine, and it's not even just to bring it up because, you know, of the Cincinnati game. Or it's been going on for years that they've had this issue on third down, at least definitely since last year, where, look, third and one, third and two, that's
fine. You played yourself into that
spot.
Yeah,
if you get a stop, that's wonderful. But I remember I was watching a Brett Coleman and EJ Snyder video. They were talking about that, and I don't have the exact numbers, but essentially the numbers came down to on like third and three in, you complete a pass, you're getting a first down like 95% of the time. Like, just complete the pass, you're probably getting it. It's like third and eight back, the numbers fall way down. And yet for the Bills, that's really my biggest problem, is it's these third and longs of you've done so well on first and second down. And that is a thing. I know Jeremy and Joe have talked about it, I think even yesterday or at least last week, where the Bills have been very good on first and second down defense. It has been just get off the field.
And it's third and long where you're supposed to, and this is kind of becoming the thing of where you bring up, this squarely falls on the shoulders of Brandon Bean.
We talked about it last week. Their average starting or their average third down position is third and eight.
And that should be your pass rushers get to pin their ears back and tee off. They're not getting home and they're even sending blitzes.
Mm-hmm.
That falls on the general manager. Because if not for Joey Bosa forcing fumbles left, right, and center at this point, they have no pass rush. Well, oh, but what about pass rush win rate? Are they finishing?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Are they affecting the play enough against mobile quarterbacks nowadays? Because that's what you have to be in order to make that work. You frustrated Justin Fields. That's it.
That's pretty much
the list.
I mean, I mentioned it, I think, either on air or off air, but QB hurries per drop back, and this is Per Football Reference. The Bills are first in the league at 16.3%. But
cool.
But along with everyone else that they're with there, the QB knockdown percentage is way lower than them. Their sack percentage is way lower. All of it is way lower. Even their pressures compared to these teams like Denver or Seattle,
and
who
when you
are
play,
much better defensive units.
And when you play off coverage, if you're going to hurry it, well, off coverage is going to allow that to happen. And then it's going to allow a completion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sending blitzes, for example, though, and you're causing those hurries, that leaves holes in the coverage. But they're not getting home. And when I say getting home, I mean finishing the deal. Get a knockdown. Get a pressure that forces the incompletion. You saw a decent amount of it in the Miami game. But that's also the only time I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of work to do. I will say I agree with the caller as well. I am excited for what Hoyt's going to bring.
I am very excited about that. I'm excited about Ed Oliver coming back. Good lordy lord, am I excited about Oliver coming back and potentially playing next to Deion Walker on snaps. If they get Walker into the one tech next to Oliver.
If he can play that role.
I have visions of being very happy.
And so that's, you know, to the caller's point too, they're 4-0. Hate to bring this up, and I don't disagree, but also we're 4-0 hunting a Super Bowl, and as you mentioned, it with the anxiety that's where the Bills live at.
That's why he hates it, though. Like, that's why the caller hates
and
it. He knows it.
And I don't disagree. I'm fully with him on it. But a lot of their issues potentially could get fixed if guys like Hoyt hit like they want him to and Ed Oliver continues his hot run he had in week one, and if Deion Walker can play at the one tech. They've maybe got the pieces, the ingredients to really cook or bake a really nice pie. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll have our top five playoff performers also.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms. rooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We've got to get to that NHL news I mentioned at the end of the last segment. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. One continues to roll along here on a Tuesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Baseball playoffs start today. Very excited.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Cleveland, Detroit. Detroit does get in the playoffs after nearly, I mean, it still is, but one of the worst collapses we've ever seen. It was almost nearly the worst if they missed out on the playoffs entirely.
Detroit now has the chance to do the funniest thing possible.
Lose the division but still win the wild card series against the team that beat them?
Yeah. Correct, yes.
Yeah. Three-game series. I like this much better than like any kind of like one-game playoff would have you.
Yes.
I just like it too because I'm already seeing commercials for like the AL and NLDS starts this weekend, and you're like, oh yeah, wild card series is going to be over with on Thursday. Should be a blast. And
I'm just sitting here with my number one seed, Blue Jays.
Blue Jays are the number one seed, and with that, they will play the winner.
And they have to face the Red Sox or the Yankees.
Yeah, they get the winner of the Red Sox-Yankees. That being a wild card series is awesome.
I will say this. I kind of need the Yankees to win. Toronto battered New York all throughout the year. They could not handle Boston.
No, especially at the end of the year, it was tough.
Yeah. Give me take my chances with the Yankees. I can at least go on. You did well against them this year. Don't give me the Red Sox at all. No.
Yeah,
no.
I'm very, very excited. I've mentioned it a few times as we got closer to the playoffs starting. As an Angels fan, I can kind of get away from the regular season pretty often. The playoffs and the end of the regular season always drags me right back in. I equate it a lot to the Sabres and the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. That, yeah, the Sabres have been bad, and I have to at times check out with them or I'm going to lose my mind. But always come to Stanley Cup playoffs, I am there. Game one, super excited to watch it.
I'm excited about the Mariners, too, just whoever they end up facing. Cal Raleigh is fantastic.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
Big Dumper is great.
And I think he's the favorite to win the NBA. I haven't checked the favorites to win the NBA. I know it's between him and Judge in the AL, but I got to imagine you're going to give it to Cal Raleigh.
I do have to say one thing about the Yankees, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Last three games against Toronto, they won the last two. They haven't figured it out.
They got them.
Listen,
got
that's her. All I'm saying. Toronto in the playoffs. I'm sorry.
I know.
The AAA affiliate plays in Buffalo, but Yankees in the first round of the playoffs, I would take. It's the actual like towards the end where
it's the
bottom of the fifth where they're going to just completely look like a little league team out there.
And that's the thing. This is going to be key for Toronto. Yes, they have the one seed. It is going to be proving that you do belong. You didn't just have a hot regular season.
Right, exactly.
That's going to be the key and really fun thing.
Having home field is going to be big, though, because in the MLB, it is a large disparity between your wins and losses by being home versus away.
Yeah.
They do manage with that regular season to at least keep that there. They have a chance, or at least they give themselves the best chance because they are the number one overall seed in the AL. By the way, we had hockey news.
Yes, thank you.
We promised we were going to give you, and we
have just outright now refused to in two segments all of a sudden. Kirill Kaprizov and the Minnesota Wild agreed to an 8-year extension, $17 million average annual value.
The Wild just got out. I'm saying just got out. I think it's been about a year and a half, 2 years since they've got out of the Parise-Suter contracts. But now you can have another big one on the books with Kaprizov. I think he's absolutely worth that. But we were talking with Owen Parker before he left. You know, this points to McDavid. He's going to get 20-plus million. And for the Sabres especially, Alex Tuch, that reported asking price of around $11 million, probably has some validity to it.
Suddenly bears a lot more weight to it.
It'll absolutely be something to keep an eye on as well, because he's not in the Eichel, McDavid, Kaprizov realm. It'll be something to keep an eye on now for the next few days for the Sabres of, do they just get the Tuch extension done before the season here, now that one of the big names is off the table and we have that price point.
But he is also consistently a 30-goal scorer, and that
is right,
has value in the National Hockey League.
Absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. Carol, if you hang on the line, we'll get to you when we come back. And also, we have our top five primetime performers coming up next. An interesting week in the NFL. We'll give you our thoughts after this timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number two rolls along here on a Tuesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And as promised, we're going to keep getting connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Carol is up next. Carol, how are we doing?
Hi, guys. I'm approaching this with a different perspective and a different kind of passion. I'm like, oh, my God, stop crying and whining and coddling this team.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it like this. We have professional players. They're getting paid millions of dollars. They know what their role is. They know what their job is. They know what their position is. And that goes for the coaches as well. They need to come out and play each and every week with that same type of urgency to win the Super Bowl. And playing like that, yes, it can get exhausting, and there could be some kind of game fatigue by the end of the season. But that's what your team psychologists are for. And if you need a team mother, I'll be glad to sign up for the job. The other thing is, we keep comparing ourselves to the last two-thirds of the league. We know that we're better than them. We know we can outplay them. We need to constantly be comparing ourselves to the top three and four teams, not only to be equal to them, but to supersede them to win that Super Bowl. So that's what I have to say. Go Bills. They've always been my team, and they always will. But they need to play up to that higher standard as well. Thanks, guys. Interested to hear what you have to say. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Carol. I think that's the thing is, like, I think they are reaching that higher standard. They are still 4-0. It can be lost at times when most of us are complaining as they go. I will also say, I mean, you're also seeing a lot of their backups played like backups on the secondary. Trey White, I know Sal's talked about it. He was on his way to maybe winning that CB2 battle with Max Harrison. Harrison misses most of training camp. We actually don't really know how that battle was going to go as training camp went on. There's a very good chance the first round pick.
It did not become a prolonged battle. As a matter of fact, Harrison misses most of training camp.
There's a chance Harrison overtakes him there. Linebackers. Yeah, Dorian Williams is playing like a backup. Derek, you mentioned it. Like, it's nice that he led the team in tackles last year. He hasn't looked like that player at all this year.
There's not been
that progression for him.
This is where there's also the tricky balance between criticizing the team for not playing their best game, but also making sure to acknowledge that they are indeed 4-0 and they've won these last two games by multiple possessions and by double digits. So how critical should we really be? Because I look at Green Bay losing to the Cleveland freaking Browns, or the Chargers getting tripped up by the 0-3 Giants starting a rookie quarterback in his NFL debut. There are fates worse than death. And the Bills winning by 12 against the Saints is ultimately still a hell of a lot better than what I saw in Green Bay and what I saw with the Chargers. Oh, and by the way, the peers that were all sitting there at 4-0, there were six of them. Now there's two. The Bills are one of them.
And I have mentioned with the Eagles being the other undefeated team, they have a tough time passing the ball. A.J. Brown, it's not the book this year.
Yeah.
Now he's just putting Bible quotes out on Instagram.
It's just a different book.
Yeah, it's just a different book. And so but this is also something I mentioned, like how much
we're going to drive ourselves insane.
Yeah. Bulldog mentioned this yesterday of like a little bit worried for the fan base to get to January. And I think it goes back to that overtime caller you and Nate had where it's just they've done everything asked of them except the one thing. They have built, in reality, a ton of credibility to just trust what they're doing. They will probably win 11-plus games. They're going to easily win the AFC East. And they're probably almost definitely going to win a playoff game. But they have not even reached a Super Bowl yet. And that will always, for many people, leave a void that will lead some to be very apprehensive about the roster and where they're going. I've fallen into that, of talking about the talent level they actually have outside of quarterback and now James Cook in the offensive line. I think it, undisputably, those groups are fantastic.
It's a tricky balance because on one hand, you should be able to say, yeah, they are 4-0. And at the other, you should be able to say, yeah, you could also play better.
Mm-hmm.
It's a balance and finding it and trying to not make yourself a hypocrite all in the same time.
Yeah.
That is this interesting little thing. And I'm going to put a pin in this because we got to get to some primetime players.
We do. We got to get to our week four primetime performers. It was a pretty good week. One guy I definitely want to talk about just more as a season-long thing. We'll get to that, though. Starting off, though, with our honorable mentions. Derek, I'll go first here because I know we have kind of a similar vibe here with the honorable mentions. I kind of just want to throw out there Dallas Green Bay. Just and, their offenses
yep,
in general
is.
Were incredible. It ends 40-40. It's a tie.
How do you do that?
I saw Del Reed mention, can that really be considered an all-time great game if it ended as a tie or can be an instant classic if it's a tie? I'm going to say no because it is a tie in football, and I hate that. But 40-40, Romeo Doubs has the weirdest stat line imaginable. He has like 6 catches for 50 yards but 3 touchdowns. Dak and Love are going back and forth. And the hype that game had as well of Micah Parsons coming back to Dallas. And Jerry Jones is trying to gaslight everybody in the pregame interview about like what actually happened, what have you.
Yeah.
Parsons also, by the way, gets on the stat sheet. He gets a sack.
Yep.
Like, a game kind of had everything except a winner. So I do want to I do want to put that out there. It's just an honorable mention. The Green Bay Dallas game and really their offenses.
Yes. I did put that in there because I always send you the email of what I picked for the day for the segment, and it says Green Bay and Dallas offenses. Yes, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hate myself for this. I'm putting Patrick Mahomes in the honorable mentions. And I feel dirty. I need to take a shower.
He played well.
Yeah.
He carved up that, albeit a very wounded Ravens defense. And it got worse, too. I mean, Nnamdi Matabuka is out for the year. Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey both week to week. That defense is in hell. They're in a really, really bad spot.
And Matabuka might be more than just the year.
It's a neck injury.
Those things might get a little bit more interesting down the line. Zach, I know you usually have 3 in here. I cheated and I have 4.
Oh, I have 4 as well. That's good.
Okay, so then keep going.
Yeah. I also have DK Metcalf on here. He ultimately ends with 5 for 126 and a touchdown. Most of that comes from that 80-yard score. But I got to be honest, with the Steelers, I haven't despised watching them play 100% of the time. The New England game was a tough watch, don't get me wrong. But I've sort of enjoyed like what DK Metcalf has been on the Steelers, what Aaron Rodgers has even been on the Steelers. He has been the older vet. I'm just here to make everyone look better. And they've got to be in the driver's seat to win that division, I think, easily. I'd even argue, and I was talking with a listener over the weekend, I think after the Lamar maybe hamstring injury, maybe keeping him out, even them just being 1-3, Steelers might be winning that AFC North. And it's week 4.
As a hater, I hate it.
Fair.
My other honorable mentions, though, Zach, they're going to the college football
side of things
on Saturday. First, I'm going with Dante Moore, the quarterback from Oregon, 29-39, 248 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. He added 35 rushing yards in the overtime win over Penn State. James Franklin drives people crazy that he can't beat a top 10 team. But you need sometimes a primetime performance in order to keep that narrative going. Dante Moore
getting some flowers here from me.
And that felt a little bit like
in one of the most entertaining games.
It was like 3-3 at halftime, wasn't it?
But the other thing about it, you remember how week one was. It didn't give you any of the hype that it was supposed to be delivered upon. Mm-hmm. This game did.
I know we're going to talk about Alabama and Georgia coming up here in a second. Yes. Ole Miss LSU, by the way, at 3:30 also was a very good game.
All of those games ended up delivering on the hype, and that's good to see. But I needed to give Dante Moore a little bit of love here.
Real quick on him as well. He may have, and maybe most impressive for him personally, Drew Allo, the Penn State quarterback, was one of them coming in with all the hype. He was part of that quarterback group we mentioned with Luke Johnson last week from the Saints. Of just like all these guys came in with a lot of hype. Aller was the one guy who still hadn't botched that yet, and he did. Dante Moore has been playing great football all year with Oregon. Also, a bit of an interesting road to get to Oregon. Initially committed to them, decommitted, went to UCLA, played there in his freshman year. You've seen anything on UCLA football, you know how dire a situation they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Now goes back to Oregon. Lost his top receiver before the season even started, Evan Stewart. And he's, I think now, I haven't checked, but he might be either the Heisman favorite or one of the Heisman favorites. Oregon looks like a wagon so far this year. And many smart people were really thinking Penn State had a shot this year, or shot against Oregon. Turned out to not be true. Dan Lanning's building a hell of a program there.
And Penn State still almost got their shot on him.
Yeah.
Lost by 3 points.
Mm-hmm. My other honorable mention, Jackson Dart. Not really necessarily stats-wise. I mean, he had 2 total touchdowns. Just more going up against that Chargers team. Malik Nabers goes down, and for him to get a win. And for, you know, this is why I'll usually point to starting the young guys earlier than maybe you'd like to, maybe more than you're comfortable for, because teams will rally around that guy. It is hard to rally around, no offense, someone like a Russell Wilson or even a Jameis Winston who are on their roster, because you've been there and you've done that. You know who they are. You know their limitations. There is almost a bliss of ignorance with these rookies, not really knowing how the NFL goes, what's happening, and they're kind of just going out to play. And you could see a little bit of that from Dart. And then even a fellow rookie, Abdul Carter, I think in the postgame, you even mentioned the future is now. I don't think the Giants are going to be a great team this year, but I think they're better off playing Dart. And I think they were better off playing Dart maybe even in week one.
They're worth keeping an eye on next year.
Yeah.
Is what I would say. Staying in college with my last honorable mention. Oh, you know this has got to happen here. As a certified big boy, we get a big boy screen. The play from Alabama for Caden Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
He hits a weight loss goal. And the Alabama coaching staff says, for your reward, we're giving you a screen pass.
Yeah, we're going to give you a screen pass.
And not only does he get the screen pass, he doesn't drop it. Good job on you, first of all. He then rumbles through and almost gets a touchdown on a thick six. That would have been amazing. But also, that's the beauty of humanity in a play. Hey, congrats on hitting your goal. Here's a reward. And then you don't botch it and you look great with it to the point where multiple people around here are tweeting Joe Brady saying, hey, I just saw an offensive lineman get a screen pass. Which, first of all, how dare any of you? The Bills don't run screen plays well.
Yeah, I'm not throwing Alec Anderson out there to the Wolves. They don't run screens well.
The only reason that Khalil Shakir scored on that play is because he's a human pinball.
Yeah, but Caden Proctor, unbelievable
Proctor,
play,
I love
and so
that play.
Much fun. Also,
so much fun.
Good for Kalen DeBoer as well. He looked like he was in a really bad spot with Alabama faithful the whole thing after that Florida State loss in Tallahassee. And since then, they've just gone in the complete opposite direction. He also, by the way, so good against a number of coaches. Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, Steve Sarkisian. Just kind of has like some weird moments. But Kalen DeBoer, I think overall, very good coach for Bama. Glad they didn't rush to any sort of conclusions there, because I think Alabama's going to be in a really good spot going forward. All right, now to the top five. I'll start off here. Number 5, Chargers, outside linebacker, edge rusher, however you want to register it. Tuli Tupulatu? I believe that's how you say it? I think that's right. 4 sacks for the Chargers on Sunday against Jackson Dart, albeit a rookie, yes, but 4 sacks. Kind of hard to ignore that. I didn't hear much about it, though, on Sunday. Usually when you hear a guy get like the 3 sacks, all of a sudden everyone's going like, what's this guy doing? This is freaky. He gets to 4. Unbelievable game for him. He's at number 5 for me.
And number 5 for me is going to be Ashton Jeanty. Jeanty has had a rough start to his rookie campaign
mm-hmm,
here,
mm-hmm.
And it has not been great. What does he do against the Bears here. What is ultimately a loss, unfortunately, for him? 21 carries, 155 total yards, 130 of them rushing. Why did I include the total yards? Because there's three touchdowns and a great game from Genty here. It does end in a loss. Geno Smith keeps throwing interceptions left, right, and center, apparently.
Yeah, he's rough.
But what is it with Seattle knowing when to get rid of quarterbacks all of a sudden?
Yeah, they've nailed that twice in a row.
This is uncanny.
Twice in a row with different regimes.
Yeah.
They've nailed it. They have nailed it, at least coaching regimes.
Yes.
Absolutely nailed it.
But Genty, for me, it's a great game for him. Gets his season back on track. And for a lot of people that were really hyped up about the Boise State running back, well, here's some of your dedication being paid off.
Mm-hmm. Number four for me, Cowboys wide receiver George Pickens. I had to put someone from this game in the top five. It was such a fun offensive game. And I went for the guy that had to take up all the duties at receiver. With CeeDee Lamb going down, Pickens has kind of this feeling of, man, he's super talented, but man, is he going to do some dumb stuff. And ultimately, he was just fine. 8 catches for 134 and 2 scores. Great game by him. Again, the only thing that game did not have was a winner.
Yeah, that is very true. Staying at wide receiver here, moving on to number four, I've got Puka Nacua.
Oh, baby.
The man cannot be stopped.
Oh, baby.
He cannot be stopped. He was averaging, coming into this game, 111 yards per game. He goes ahead and grabs another 13 catches, 170 yards and a touchdown to another player that I will be nominating here later on. But Nacua is just fantastical right now and a large reason that the Rams are able to be at 3-1 at the moment.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. We'll talk more on Puka Nacua here in a little bit because he's on my list, obviously.
There we go.
A little bit further down. Number three now for me, I know you put him in honorable mentions. For me, one of the better quarterback performances over the weekend, Patrick Mahomes, 4 touchdowns, 270 yards. That game, as much as I was hyped up to watch it, never really close. Lamar Jackson didn't really look right. I know Mike Schoep's been talking about this the last few weeks. He didn't really look right against Detroit, 7 sacks. Mahomes, though, complete opposite. He looked in total control. I think there is something to, like we saw last year with the Bills, Amari Cooper gets inserted into the Bills' wide receiver room, mm-hmm. into the offense. And while he didn't put up crazy stats, the offense just flowed better. I think that might be plus with Worthy. He put up total yards. They had him in the run game. They had him in the pass game, what have you. But just him being in the rotation, him being in the lineup, I think just allowed the offense to breathe more. And they look, this is albeit against a really, really beat up defense as a whole. But Mahomes in the offense looked really good, arguably for the first time in a while.
Yeah, that's, again, I feel dirty giving Patrick Mahomes any sort of credit right now. I'm becoming too much of a hater.
I get it. That's fine.
But, you know, it is what it is, which is he played well in a game that they needed. Because if you fall to 1-3, it's not typically going mm-hmm. to be for the best. And now all of a sudden, they are one game out of the lead for the AFC West. We're back.
Oh, yeah.
We're all back. Number three for me, you mentioned him already, Tuli Tuipulotu. 10 tackles, 4 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hits. He did not make Jackson Dart's first career start an easy one.
No.
But it is ultimately in a loss somehow because the Chargers just decided to be out to lunch that day, offensively at least. But again, a great game. And suddenly this puts him, after one game, having those 4 sacks, tied for 6th in the NFL in sacks.
And these were his first 4 sacks of the season?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He's tied for 6th with 4 sacks
on the
year in one game.
That's awesome. Number two now for me. I did go Raiders running back Ashton Genty.
Yes.
Didn't do much in the receiving game except for he only had the 2 catches, both going for touchdowns.
But that's the thing, they go for touchdowns.
Yeah. 138 yards on the ground, 1 touchdown. He has had such a tough road to start his NFL career. The Raiders were not kind of this, ooh, they might be flashy offensively team. No. Geno Smith has been rough. We just mentioned it there that Seattle inexplicably, again, moves off to the quarterback right when they needed to. But Genty's been looking for this. I think it was Ryan Clark that said he just doesn't have that it factor. Well, there you go. That's the Boise State Ashton Genty. And I think I saw, too, he's going back to that Michael Myers stance that he had before, you know, taking the ball where he's just standing straight up. He's not in any kind of stance. And this is the first game he did it. Good for him. And he might have to be the guy for the Raiders because not much else is going right for them. But I think overall, a great performance for him. And one we've all been waiting to see, and I think that's more of it for me, is just how the season's been going for him. For it to finally pop like that, albeit in a loss, huge for him. It's number two for me, running back Ashton Jeanty.
Number two for me is going to be on the defensive side in that game. The Chicago Bears winning against the Raiders. Kevin Byard the third. Byard has seven tackles, one tackle for loss, two pass deflections, two interceptions of Geno Smith. Considering that they win this game, I'm always going to respect when a defensive player puts up a big stat line like this.
Mm-hmm.
And every point mattered in this one. Geno Smith's turnovers are becoming back-breaking because they are mattering in the win and loss column. Byard gets these plays done, and I'm just sitting here slightly jealous that a safety is making plays.
Only slightly, though.
Only slightly, because Cole Bishop is making plays now, too.
Got a sack and an interception just through the first month of the season.
Exactly.
He's making plays, yep.
He's making plays. Byard had himself a great game, though. This was one of those performances that you look back on in the film room, and you see that is a rangy safety making the plays that he needs to as a pure center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he also gets a tackle for loss in the game as well. Everything is working for him. Keep it going, because the Chicago Bears are suddenly living up to some of the promise that they've been displaying.
Yeah, they're 2-2, right, at this point?
They're 2-2 now.
Yeah. All right. Not bad, not bad. Number one for me, already mentioned, and this is much more great game, yes, but also we need to keep an eye on this season going forward. Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua.
He might win Offensive Player of the Year.
I think he's got to easily be the favorite now. 13 catches, 170, and a touchdown. Just looking, though, at this year, he is by far leading the league in receptions at 42 already through four games, beating Jake Ferguson by 8. In terms of yards, he's also leading the way, 503, beating Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's in second, by 101 yards. His yards per game has gone up to 125.8, beating Jackson Smith and Jigba, who right now sits at 100.5, and I think the only person that's beating him in targets, nope, he's leading the league in targets at 50. Chris McCaffrey's at 43. I saw a tweet, it was just from a random user, I found it funny because he was talking about Puka Nacua, but it was about the Rams quarterback, Matthew Stafford. He, though, might be the antithesis to everybody eats. When that man finds a receiver he loves, he is going to target that man until the wheels fall off. He did it with Calvin Johnson, he did it with Cooper Kupp, and he's doing it with Puka Nacua. Kenny Galladay, he did it as well back with
That's
the Lions.
Right.
He got him to 1,000 yards. Matthew Stafford is that guy when you're like, I need a superstar receiver for my quarterback. Matthew Stafford will find a superstar wide receiver.
Matthew Stafford might make a superstar.
Yeah.
And Matthew Stafford is my number one primetime player this week. Because it is not Puka Nacua that wins that game. He hits a dot to Tutu Atwell to win the game against the Indianapolis Colts in a game where, good for the Colts, being punchy. They're for real. But Matthew Stafford was more real. 29 of 41, 375 total yards, 170 of them going to Puka Nacua, which is disgusting.
It's unbelievable.
Three touchdowns, including the winner to Atwell in the win against the Colts. I'm giving it to Matthew Stafford this week because Stafford is a player that he is always going to be the tough, gritty type. You can beat the snot out of him and he's still going to get up and go, let's do it again. And not that I like it, but let's do it again.
Yeah, Stafford has really, since he entered the league from Georgia, and I was younger when he first came in, so like, he was always quarterback I liked watching. That continued on when he went to the Rams. I was so happy he finally got a Super Bowl. And now his Ram career, I think more than anything, is going to put him in the Hall of Fame because it gives just context. And I've said this a few times. It gives such context to his Lions career of, man, if he was with a good organization, not a great one, a good organization, what could he have been? You put him with a great one, and now he's winning playoff games, he's winning Super Bowls, he's putting up oogles and boogles of numbers, and he's making superstar receivers out of guys like that are fifth-round picks. Not to take anything away from Puka Nacua, he's been amazing since day one, but it does help when Stafford looks at you with starry eyes and goes,
that's my guy.
Yeah, I'll be your Huckleberry right there.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll post these on social media in just the next few minutes. Talking Bills defense today. 4-0. We'll jump around the NFL as well. We'll talk about the Patriots, who are the Bills' next opponent. Sunday Night Football, Bills wearing their rivalry jerseys. I've liked the first two that we've seen from the Arizona Cardinals and the Miami Dolphins. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
got the second highest payroll in baseball. Give me a break.
You don't
have a chance to complain when you blow it the way they did. You take it. You take it. You get smacked in the face, you take it. You don't defend yourself. This team is not worth defending. We're a worthless piece of garbage organization right now. Hopefully we'll get up from it. Hopefully they'll make the right decisions. But stop complaining about the Marlins. Stop complaining about the Reds. Stop thinking you're better than you actually are. Stop worrying about the Yankees and worry about yourself. Own the town. My ass. How about owning an above 500 record and making the playoffs with the second highest payroll in baseball? Look in the mirror. The words Yankees or Marlins or baseball or Manfred or anything coming out of your mouth other than we suck, I don't want to hear it. So shut your mouth.
Hug your nearest Mets fan.
ESPN Radio's Don LaGreca down in New York, famous for his Mets rants. It's not Ed Crane Pool. It's not the Ed Crane Pool rant.
It's not Howard Simon.
But it the Mets rants, man. Like, they get people going. They do.
We got a taste of the Howard Simon one.
I heard on Pick the Bills today. Yeah.
Hug your nearest Mets fan. I should have hugged Howard. I did see him.
Don LaGreca, though, by the way, I want to make sure I'm right on this. He is, I believe, the new play-by-play guy for the – yes, he is the new play-by-play announcer for the New Jersey Devils. So, be hearing more from him, especially with hockey. He was the fill-in guy for the Rangers for years. Now he's with the Devils, his boyhood team. But, yeah, the Mets rant. The Mets, man, I think all of that is right. Like he's yelling and it's fun, the whole thing. I think he's right, though. You have the second highest payroll in baseball.
You can't miss the playoffs
and,
with that.
And that rant more comes from – Mets fans, and I think even the Mets broadcast, being a little upset the Marlins celebrated getting the Mets out of the playoffs. And his whole point there was, why? They pay nobody. They have one of the lowest payrolls in baseball. This is like their one moment of relevancy where the baseball eyes for a weekend are going to be on South Florida. Why would they not celebrate it? That they knocked you out of the playoffs after you spent all of this money.
Also, it doesn't cost anything to hate.
No, absolutely. That's absolutely correct. It's one of the best things in sports is hate watching a team. 100%.
Oh, not even that. Just division rivals and hate.
Yeah, just being like, ha, we screwed up your season.
we screwed up your season.
I just, for them.
Nanny, nanny, poo, poo.
The thing with the Mets, too, is just how much, I mean, we talk about the Tigers collapse. The Tigers at least still made the postseason.
Yes.
They still have some way of salvaging this. They beat the Guardians in three games. Who cares about the division title, right?
Right.
Like, yeah, you're going to miss home field, and you would have loved to be the one or two seed. I don't disagree with that. That still will probably linger. But you beat the Guardians. You're like, cool, sweet. We won a playoff series. You didn't. Have fun with your banner, your division title. We went further.
Yeah.
The Mets don't even have that. And
the Mets
they were
have neither.
I think last week's when it got real dicey for them was when it started. They were in a playoff spot from that point, though, since April 5th. All year, they have been in a playoff spot. You're just hoping the pitching rotation gets better. You're hoping guys like Lindor and Juan Soto and the team in general just gets going.
Right.
And it just never did. And now you got Pete Alonso, who himself had a very good year, coming off a year that he was not very good in. He's already going to hit free agency. We'll see what that means for him going forward. It's just... Yeah, second highest payroll in baseball, and you don't even make the playoffs. That's the worst spot you can be in, is spending all that money and having it mean nothing.
And I think that it just comes back to you got to be able to make the play. You've got to be able to get things taken care of. And I know that part of that payroll is ballooned by one player in Juan Soto.
He had a great year, though.
And that's the thing is like, yeah, you end up the second highest payroll in all of baseball. I wonder why. You paid Juan Soto.
Him, Lindor, money. Yeah. It's a lot of money just between those two.
But that's the thing. You also still have to pay the rest of a team, and those players do have to make the plays. It just... The Mets do this to their fan base in painstaking way every year to a point where a Bills fan can pity it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I sit over here and watching the Mets and go, they did that. They did what? They did this again?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about, like, painful eliminations in the postseason like Bills fans are used to right now or Toronto Maple Leafs fans are used to right now. It is you're missing the playoffs in the most awe-inspiring ways possible.
You were in the playoffs. You were in a playoff position most of the year.
This is a franchise that punches its fan base in the groin on a yearly basis. And bless every one of them that comes back.
I mean, they will. Yeah, it's one of the better fan bases in the sport. They're going to be back. That's the tough part. Is that
the sign of being a good person is being a Mets fan.
It's going to be happening again.
Because you know the term of forgiveness.
Yep. Baseball playoffs do start this afternoon, actually, just in a little over an hour and a half, with Tigers-Guardians at 1 p.m. It's going to be over on ESPN. And we've got Cubs-Padres over on ABC at 3. Also on ESPN, Red Sox-Yankees. Again, that's just after 6. And then 9 o'clock, Cincinnati Reds at the Dodgers, also on ESPN. Should be a wonderful next few days of sports action. All four of these wild card series go for the next 3 days, or, well, at least next 2 days. They are best of three series. You want to put a pin on something with the Bills.
I did. And it's about that balance between being able to criticize them and then also acknowledge that there are fates worse than what happened to them over these last 2 weeks.
Right, because Carol, a caller previously, did mention, like, you know, playing up to the standard, right? Like, we're comparing ourselves to other franchises. We're not comparing ourselves to the New Orleans Saints.
And there's a very severe case of burnout that's going to happen after the first loss. Burnout, crash out, whatever term you want to use with it, is going to be all sorts of relevant. The moment that the Bills lose a singular football game, this is going to happen. And it might be as soon as next week against New England. It might be in a couple weeks against Atlanta. These are the two teams left over until you get to Kansas City that are the spiciest. Shelton Bulldog yesterday, they were trying to coin the proper term with like what the Saints were against Buffalo. And I remember Bulldog was kind of struggling with, and I love the quote that he comes up with, north of plucky.
North of plucky, yep.
North of plucky. That is what these two teams are going to be. And I think spicy is the right term. I don't know how good New England's roster is. I still don't know how good New England's roster is. They're a team that struggled more with Miami than Buffalo did. They're a team that committed 5 turnovers against the Steelers and yet only allowed 13 points. They're a team that kicked the absolute snot out of Carolina. They're a team that lost to the Raiders. What are the Patriots? And from what I've seen through 4 weeks is they're a game of Mad Libs. I don't know what I'm getting out of New England every week, except that Drake May doesn't stink.
Yeah, I think he might be the only definitive you have, is that at worst he's good.
But other than that, I don't know how good their defense is. Christian Gonzalez is back, so it might take a step for the better.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bills can play that game against New England, at least. Because Ramondre Stevenson's not a good running back, and they still give him the football. I would be using more of Travion Henderson this week if I am Mike Vrabel. I also think that Mike Vrabel is not that great of a tactician.
And he's a great culture builder.
He's a great culture builder.
Which only, I think, gets you so far.
It only gets you so far, especially with a team that is going to have less talent than the opponent that they are facing in this circumstance. Yes, the Bills have a problem with talent. We did just mention that earlier in the show, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still leaps and bounds away from the roster New England still has put together. You should win against New England. Division games do get a little bit more tight, a little more tense. Jets game aside, that's been happening for the entirety of the AFC so far. Except for Bills-Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of these games in the division has been punchy.
And to be fair, yeah, I mean, you've seen how the Jets performed since that week one game. It hasn't been good. The Dolphins game really isn't all that close. I know there's a shot there for the Jets towards the end.
But they Jetsed it up bad.
Aaron Glenn, by the start of the fourth quarter, looked like he wanted to be anywhere else but South Florida. That guy looked like he wanted to just get on a plane. We're 0-4. Let's just move on. I mean, I didn't realize just how much work they have to do. I really thought it was more just the quarterback situation's a mess. You know, the owner likes to meddle. The GM's kind of bad. Like, maybe Aaron Glenn can come in and not fix it right away, but make them respectable. No, there is a talent issue with the Jets.
There's a talent issue.
They gave Sauce Gardner $100 million, and Darren Waller was whooping them.
And it's going to be something more along those lines that we can talk about them later. But yeah, these next two games are going to be the toughest matchups that the Bills will have before the bye week. But they're also still teams that are 2-2, and we don't know who they really are yet. We don't know. What I do know is New England has at least been building something over the last couple of years. They have a quarterback that is probably going to become a problem. Atlanta, I know, has a great running back. That will be a problem. They have a defense that, one game aside where Carolina decided they wanted to wake up, they've been playing great all year, except for one game. But I also know that the Bills have the league's MVP. And if I'm not mistaken, it's second leading rusher?
Yep, only behind Jonathan Taylor, James Cook.
And it's by 13 yards.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically there together.
One, two, and three are kind of like, and then it's a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Because Travis Etienne's having a great year right now, too. But you have the second leading rusher, the seventh leading passer, despite the fact that the Bills aren't throwing the ball as much as they could be. Scary thought. And they have a defense that should play up to more of a potential. Allen's played pretty good against New England over the last coming years. Not so much last year, the one game that he plays.
Mm-hmm.
But they also figure it out because they have a talent gap. Has New England done enough to fix that? I don't know.
It's going to be interesting, though, on defense. You do mention, obviously, Allen, of course, and then James Cook. That is where the Patriots are going to be a curious watch. Christian Gonzalez has not played at all this year until this last week. He has been dealing with an injury. Now he's back. But through the first four games, Patriots are fourth worst in terms of net yards allowed per pass. They're not one of the better passing defenses. The same cannot be true about their rushing defense. They are allowing the second lowest total of yards per attempt at 3.3. The only team better, Cleveland, 2.7 yards per carry on the ground. They have been a very good run-stuffing defense. So
Try me.
Yeah, no, I think that's the thing. For the Bills, it should be cool. But Cook is dominating, and we have Allen. We're not going to change a thing. I've now gotten to this point. The Bills are treating a lot of this as just, it's September. It's October. Why would we show you everything? So they're going to come in. And I know a lot of people have pointed this out for the passing game. It's been very vanilla. I think that's for a reason. Why are they going to show teams a bunch of stuff against the Saints? The Patriots, though, might be one of the first games where they might have to go deep into their bag of tricks to find something. With Christian Gonzalez back, that pass defense probably is going to get better, especially now it's not even his first game back. It's his second game back. You've already seen how they've done against the run very well.
And now this is also a good opportunity for your pass rush. But it's also going to be another one of those moments of we might not learn anything positive. Drake May has taken the third most amount of sacks in the league this year at 13. Get to him, please. Finish the deal. Because if you don't, only negative thoughts are going to come from this. So you need to get it done. There's less and less excuses for players like a Javon Solomon out there right now. There's less and less excuses for Gregory Rousseau.
I think especially someone like Rousseau, who was given a big contract. I know, and I brought it up, I think, last hour, that he's dealing with a bone bruise. That's the reports. But he's not on the injury report. He's practicing in full.
Right.
He's not even really receiving treatment because he's not on the injury report.
Right.
He's got to perform.
He's got to perform.
He was one of, if not the guy I was looking to this offseason of, he's got to take that step forward to being one of the better pass rushers in the NFL. And so far, through four games, he's kind of been a non-factor.
And you need to be better.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get better. Can you at least stifle some of the conversation about the pass rush? Which is, once again, it reared its ugly head.
Yep. Bills, Patriots, Sunday night football. It's going to be a whiteout game. The Bills will be wearing their rivalry jerseys. Should be a lot of fun. Again, Sunday night football. We'll talk with Sal Capaccio tomorrow as the week really gets underway, probably around the 11 o'clock hour. So do stay tuned for that. Sabres Live, though, coming up at 12 o'clock. We'll be right back wrapping up the show today on a Tuesday in just a few minutes. This is WGR. Whiteout game this Sunday for the Buffalo Bills. They're going to be the third team wearing their rivalry jerseys. The Arizona Cardinals were first, and then last night we did see the Miami Dolphins. I got to tell you, Derek, I was a little apprehensive on how I would feel about these. And, you know, to a certain extent, I think teams can get a little too creative and miss the mark entirely, which I'd much rather them do rather than doing nothing and just being like, oh, this is kind of lazy. I've really liked the rivalry jerseys when we first got them. And I've really liked actually seeing them on the field. Arizona's, I thought, was awesome. I think they may have stumbled into something that they should maybe consider long-term and into, you know, permanent status. And even Miami's last night, I could tell it was a little more blue than black. I know that was a big thing that people were wondering is like, ooh, how's it actually going to come out on TV? I like Miami's last night.
I think their nameplates were a little too big.
A little too big, yeah. That's right. But outside of like the actual jersey construction and the look of it, I think they've nailed it two for two so far for
overall,
me.
Overall, I don't hate Miami's, and I didn't like, and Arizona's was pretty good. I also am happy this is still a one-off ultimately for most of these teams, because I'm pretty sure in terms of my ranking of those rivalry jerseys, my number one and number three have played, and number two will be next.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to get worse.
They're about to get worse. All the good ones are happened already. It goes downhill from here.
We wasted the good surprise on you.
But I've liked them so far. I can be at times a bit of a uniform junkie, but mainly I do actually like ultimate what the Bills are wearing, which is just like the white outlook kind of deal. But I've really enjoyed both Miami's and Arizona's. I think they may have fallen into something that could be perfect for them going into permanent status of having that sort of desert cream look that they had going on. Really, really good. Big fan of that. And we'll see if they end up still doing that. They probably won't, but we'll see. Sabres back in action tomorrow night. But coming up next, more on the Sabres. Sabres Live coming up next. This is WGR.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.